If you've ever found yourself spiraling down a late night rabbit hole of what am I meant to do and why haven't I found it yet? And let's be honest, who hasn't? Then you're in the right place. I'm Teresa White, career clarity expert and 5-time certified career coach, and I'm here to help you navigate the question of how to find a career that truly lights you up. On Career Clarity Unlocked, we're all about those light bulb moments. I'm talking to people who are still trying to figure out what they're meant to do, coaching them live to reach that magical, yes, this is it moment. And we'll also hear from those who've already found their dream careers and figure out exactly how they did it. Whether you're looking for inspiration or actionable advice on finding a career you love, I've got you covered. Time to unlock some career clarity. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Career Clarity Unlocked. Today, we're tackling a question that a lot of us have wrestled with. Should you turn your passion into your work? For some, that is the ultimate dream. But for others, mixing passion with a paycheck can feel really risky. My guest today, Bianca Barlow, knows this firsthand. She's built a career around her love for dogs, wellness, and helping others find balance. So if you've ever wondered whether making your passion your profession is right for you, stick around. This conversation is full of insight, heart, and a little dog wisdom you don't want to miss. Bianca is an entrepreneur, originally from Germany, just like me. She launched her first business, a dog training and walking business, at 17, and after moving to the US, co-founded a kombucha company with her college roommate. Over the years, Bianca has gained experience in international business, marketing, tech, and small business consulting, often moving between Europe and the US due to all her visa requirements. Now she is back in the US, fully invested in her passion project, Dogfulness Coaching, providing personal and online coaching programs for overwhelmed dog owners, as well as webinars and workshops. Certified as a life coach, yoga instructor, professional dog trainer, and a licensed family pause parent educator, Bianca thrives on supporting people and their goals throughout her holistic approach. Let's get started. Welcome, Bianca.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super, super excited and super honored to be here.
I'm super excited to be chatting with you today. And Bianca, I know you've pivoted a lot in your career. You've launched a kombucha business, you went into consulting, and then your dogfulness coaching. Did you always know that your passion for dogs and wellness would end up being your career, or did that just naturally happen and evolve?
That's such a good question. And I would say it's a two-part answer from my side, because I think in my heart and in my gut, I've always known that I wanted to work with animals. So the first career wish that I can remember was that I wanted to become a dolphin trainer and work, like, you know, in a sea life park when I was 7. And that changed after I learned a little bit more about dolphins in captivity and all of that. But I knew I wanted to work with animals. I grew up on a little piece of land. My parents had kind of a hobby farm. And so I grew up around sheep and ducks and goats and chickens. And we also had a dog. And so I've always been very fascinated about animals and their behavior and communicating with them. I wanted to become a veterinarian at some point. And so when I was 17, I started the dog walking business and I loved it. But at that point, I didn't really see that as a career. I think it was always a dream of mine to become a dog trainer when I started that. But, you know, I kind of followed the more normal societal path, I would say. And I mean, you're from Germany. We were like very close from like a town very close to each other. So there is a certain societal expectation, as I think is in a lot of areas in all over the world. And so I ended up going to business school and then started the kombucha business. And that really solidified how much I enjoy being an entrepreneur and how much I thrive in like a creative and entrepreneurial environment. And then, you know, with the wellness and health aspect, I think that part was just always an interest of mine, and it kind of like gradually developed. I was, especially like my last 1.5 years of college, I had a pretty stressful daily life because I was starting the business. I also was doing an internship at the time and I had 18 credits. And I think it was almost became more of a necessity than an interest to stay healthy. And that's when I became interested in yoga and mindfulness and how to kind of incorporate that into my daily life. So yeah, I would say I've always known that it was a passion of mine, but life kind of happened and kind of exposed me to all sorts of different areas and interests.
I love your story. It is so fascinating because there's so many people who have a passion for animals or so many other things. And it really takes someone to be very brave to turn this into your job. And as you said, there are so many societal expectations that tell us that dog training is not the same career as going with something with a business degree. When in reality, right, both are very, very exciting career paths, and it's just what's more aligned with you. But our society doesn't see it that way. Or when we grow up, I mean, yes, 100%. If I would have told my parents, like, oh, I'm going to go to business school or starting a dog training business, I know what my parents would have told me.
Yeah. No, and it's always like that. It's I think it's parents, and then also just, you know, all that input from the outside that you get. And it's really hard sometimes to stay true to yourself when all those expectations happens. And it's still, honestly, it still happens sometimes, you know, when people ask me what I do for work, and that they're like, oh, a dog trainer. Okay, interesting. Or, you know, it's something that people think it's like, oh, it's like a cute little passion project. When in fact, I think anything where you can provide value for other people and you can solve their problems can be turn into a career. So
yes. And I think you're the perfect example that this is so much more than a passion project, and that it takes an immense amount of knowledge and dedication to do the work really well.
Well, thank you. I'm very honored to be on your podcast because I never really considered myself as a role model when it comes to career, just because I didn't have a very straightforward path in my career. And so, yeah.
I think that is a strength. It is so much easier to follow societal expectations than to go your own route. And you did that. And I want to bring us back when we first met, which was, I think, 2.5 years ago, and you were living in Hawaii, thinking about or having to move to Germany. And that was a big step. You're not just moving internationally, but also moving from entrepreneur to a corporate role. Mm-hmm. And I want to know how that move was for you, because it's obviously it's a huge life change. It's a different country, and it's something completely different from entrepreneur to corporate. Mm-hmm. Was at the time, was there a feeling like, oh, I should follow like the traditional path and go into a corporate role? Or what was your mindset at that time?
You mean before I moved back?
You moved back, yeah.
So that was, that's a really good question. So maybe to kind of like go a step back on like what I did before. So I was always in like the marketing and business development field. And then I had started the kombucha business. And we sold that. It's still around, but we sold that in 2020. And when I first moved to Hawaii, I originally moved to Hawaii for a marketing role for a nonprofit. And I moved on March 13, 2020, and everyone remembers the pandemic. So the pandemic hit, and it was just, you know, this crazy situation. I was on this island, my job offer fell through. And so I had to find a new job, and job market was limited at the time. You probably remember the many visa requirements there are. So
yes,
there's a lot of visa requirements. I had to stay within the business field, and I ended up getting a sales job in Hawaii, in insurance sales, which was, honestly, looking back, I'm super grateful for it. And it was good for the time being, but it was not my passion. I was not thriving selling insurance. and then I started Dogfulness in 2021. And honestly, my husband was like, played a huge role part in that. And because he always encouraged me to follow my heart and kind of get back into that. So I'm very grateful for that. And he was very supportive of me starting that back up. And then I started Dogfulness and really tried to create a new approach to dog training that incorporates the owner a lot more. I think that's like a factor that gets a little neglected a lot of times, because the focus is very much on like the dog and not so much like how can we support the owner that is very clearly struggling and frustrated and overwhelmed in the process. Yeah. And so I ended up quitting the job, went full, the sales job, and I went full in into Dogfulness, and it was going really well. And I was actually booked, like I was completely booked out within the first 3 months of launching the business. And
that's incredible.
Thank you. I was so happy. I was like, this is it. Like, this is, you know, I get to do what I love in a beautiful place that I love. And then I had to leave the country because of visa requirements within 2 months. So I had to shut down my business, shut down, like take care of a lot of paperwork. And that's when I reached out to you, because at that time I was honestly a little overwhelmed on what's next. I had been living in the US for almost 7 years at that point. Most of my career had been in the US. And I needed like some sort of an anchor, almost. Yeah. Like moving back, there was so much uncertainty. We were still, you know, we were just getting out of the pandemic at that point. And so you really helped me with that and finding that corporate career.
Yeah. So. And I still remember, I mean, your translation, it all moved so quickly, but I do remember the first thing I really learned about you is your gallop strengths of woo, winning others over. And that's been our anchoring point when we work together of like, okay, you've done this throughout your entire career, is you build relationships, you win others over. What corporate role does align with the strengths and all the experience you have, which then brought you into account management, right?
Right. And honestly speaking, that was, I think it was a great fit for me. I would have never thought of that in a corporate setting that for myself, just because I was more in the marketing roles before that. And I have to say, I was really lucky with the company, and I had a very open-minded and supportive team. So that made the transition very easeful back, you know, just from like the job perspective. Yeah. But the transition back to Germany was not as easy as I thought.
How was that? We never talked about that.
So, you know, I'm going to be really straight up with you. That was one of the hardest phases or hardest chapters of my life, to be really honest. Like I said, the job was, you know, luckily I had that anchor coming back, and I had a job, and it was for an international, young international scale up. It was very, you know, very, very fast paced, very fast moving, exciting things happening, a cool team. So that was a really good anchor on having that new career. However, like moving back, there were so many other things that you don't think about. And I think only international people that have moved between continents kind of understand and get. But it is, you know, not just like booking a flight and, okay, now I'm back. I had all of my stuff overseas. So trying to ship my stuff back, trying to find a new apartment, getting stuff for my new apartment and basically restarting my whole life, a ton of paperwork that no one wants to do. And so, I mean, that was a lot of logistics. And the good part was that I was closer to my family and I, you know, got to spend a lot of time with them after years of being away. And that was amazing. But what really hit me like a ton of bricks that I didn't expect was the re-entry culture shock. And it's something that it took me a few months to realize that that's what it was, because I just had like feelings of like, I don't really fit in anymore. I've been gone for so long. And it's a very alienating and bizarre feeling because I'm from Germany. I was born and raised there. And so you just expect of like, oh, you just go back and everything is how it was. And like, you know, and it's a very weird feeling. And that came with a lot of challenges of just like getting readjusted to this new country that is my home country and to the lifestyle there and everything. And I also had a long distance relationship with my husband because he was still in Hawaii for his job. And so that of course didn't make it any easier either.
That is so incredibly hard. And I have this feeling, it's a relief to hear this from you, because I get this feeling when I just travel and visit Germany. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the biggest struggles for me when I think about ever moving back, is because I anticipate this being really, really hard.
Yes. That. Yeah. No, it definitely helps to open up a little bit and talk to people that went through a similar similar international moves, because it's something that you don't really think about and that you don't expect. Like I did not expect, I knew that it would be hard to get readjusted, but I didn't expect it to be that hard. Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't expect it. I would expect it to be incredibly mm-hmm. hard. Yeah. And now 3 years later, you're back in the US.
Now I'm back
full time on your business Dogfulness. Mm-hmm. So what was the decision for you to now go back to make this your full-time business, not just a passion, but a business?
Mm-hmm.
And was that more the intuition, or did you just know this is what I need to do?
Oh man, it's definitely been a journey. I would say it's definitely been a journey to get here, and I'm very excited, but I would say it was definitely intuition, because I think if I would have only followed the brain, I probably would still be in this secure corporate job. I don't think, making a decision purely on intuition, or I should say, I think combining those two, like following your intuition, but then also bringing in a more strategic view on everything, is good. And I think part of that was honestly just like getting to know myself really well and being like really radically honest with myself and just really reflecting on like my past jobs mm-hmm. and my past roles. Like what were the parts that I loved the most in my past roles? And that was really connecting with people and helping people and guiding people. And then also thinking like, you know, what would my inner child, basically, you know, what person would I be to make her proud? And also looking into the future and like thinking like, okay, if I'm, you know, 80, 90 years old and I'm going towards the end of my life, looking back, like what would I be proud of? And what memories would I be excited to share? And also what regrets would I have? And then that was made it very clear that if I don't give this a full shot and really go full in and making that life work and really something that I can grow with, I would regret it. And so, yeah. So I think all those factors combined, like really wanting to do something, like follow that passion and give it, at least give it a try. Because sometimes when you think of the worst case scenario, it's actually not not that bad. I mean, it's bad, but like really thinking like, what's the worst, the absolute worst thing that can happen? Mm-hmm. I lose a little bit of money. It doesn't work out and I have to get a job again. And so a job that maybe doesn't light me up that much, but you know, it's not the worst. It's not the end of the world.
No, it is not the end of the world. And while you were talking, it really gave me chills because it's something I believe in so strongly. Like when we listen to just our head and to societal expectations, mm-hmm. you just stayed in a corporate role. That is what seems to make sense. But what you did, and you called it being radically honest with yourself, is so powerful. And I think not just thinking about who my inner child, who would she be proud of? And then looking back at the end of your life, what is the legacy I want to leave? What stories do I want to tell? And what would I regret more? Would I regret more would I want to look back on my life and be like, okay, I played it safe. I was in this corporate role. It was all right. I didn't love it, mm-hmm. but it was okay. Or would I really regret not having given my passion at all and give it a true shot?
Yeah. No, I think I think part of that is also, I think if you do have the opportunity to do that, I think there are factors sometimes that don't allow you to do that. And I think that's also something that needs to be said, because sometimes it sounds very easy, like, oh, just follow your heart and do what you want. And I think
it's not that easy.
It's sometimes not that easy. And there's also other factors that you have to factor in. And like a lot of times it's just like boring, like, I don't know, insurance, finances, like you definitely need a plan. And I think that's where like the logical part and the intuition part are like a good combination. Yeah. But yeah, I think overall trusting your gut and trusting your intuition is always worth it. And it always makes sense in the end, even if it doesn't make logical sense in the moment.
Yeah. And I think you did that so well. It wasn't like one day you had this idea of like, I'll start this business, and you quit your job and started doing it the next day. No, it really evolved naturally for you. You already knew when you were running it in Hawaii that this is a business that mm-hmm. can be really successful. And then you prepared for it before you move, I would imagine, and have really had a plan of how you will approach this.
Yes.
And I think that's really where the logical thinking and the brain does come in of like, okay, mm-hmm. I know what I want to do. I don't need to do this tomorrow, but in a year, this is where I would like to be. In a 2 year. So what steps do I need to take to work towards that?
Yeah. And I think you are also really great when it comes to the career planning, because I think even having the clarity of like, it doesn't have to happen tomorrow. I really don't believe in this, like, make it quick and just you're become a millionaire overnight and all this stuff that is being sold to us. It doesn't happen that way. It really takes time and patience and trust. But I think just having a goal that you can look forward to, and like that clarity of this is what I want to do. And then you, even if it takes years, but you're on the right path. And I think that alone can be such a motivator, and not feeling like, what am I doing with my life?
Basically. I agree. Yes. Clarity is everything. And as most of my listeners know, I'm very passionate about the Sparkotype assessment that was developed by Jonathan Fields. Anyone can take it for free on sparkotype.com. And I know I asked you to take it as well, because for a lot of people, the results really resonate deeply. And it doesn't just tell us what we're good at, but it really points to the things that make us come alive and that we need to feel fulfilled. And I'm curious how it resonated with you. Your primary Sparkotype was the advisor. Advisors are all about guiding to grow. The Spark body of knowledge describes it as the work of coaching, mentoring, advising, filling you up like nothing else. And the satisfaction you feel comes from walking beside others and being this and guiding them along the way as they move toward their desired outcomes.
I think this was not a surprise to me. And I think if anything, it was just a confirmation that what I'm doing, that's why I like it. That's why I love what I do. And those were also the parts in my previous jobs that I loved, that I always loved, is really that one-on-one connection with people and helping them and guiding them.
Yeah. And this is a beautiful thread that really you can find throughout your whole career story, because you could look at your past as radical career changes of starting a kombucha business, being in an insurance sales role, starting your dogfulness business, going into account management, going back to dogfulness. Those could be seen so separate. But when you tie it together, what you've done in all those roles is really guiding others, having those one-on-one relationships, helping others succeed. And you correct me if I'm wrong, but that relationship aspect has always been your strength that made you so successful in all those roles.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for, yeah, for summarizing that, because I actually never thought about it that way. For me, it always, I was like, oh God, like I had so many things, and I'm a very curious person. And so if I'm interested in something, that's what led me to get a life coaching certification to understand that human aspect better and also different roles. But yeah, thinking back, those were definitely, that was kind of like the red, I only know it in German, the rote Faden.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a term too, the rote Faden.
The line.
For our German listeners.
Yeah, the constant.
The common thread.
The common thread, perfect, yeah. We call it the red thread in German. Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's such a common thread. And you already saw that when you were before moving to Germany of like, okay, the common thread is you love this relationship. Like business is about relationships for you. And that's what made your kombucha business very successful. That even made you successful in a sales role you didn't love. That's what made your dogfulness business successful. So how can you do more of this? And now I believe you really found where your entire work revolves around guiding others, dog owners.
Oh, and it's such a good feeling too. Like yes. I was just driving back from a client appointment yesterday and the sun was shining and I was like, oh my gosh, like this is what I get to do. Like this is what I get. Like it's just, yeah, it's amazing.
That is amazing. That's how you should feel about your work. That's my really deep belief, is that this is how work should make you feel, like, wow, I get paid to do this. Mm-hmm. And obviously, there's not going to be, you won't love every single piece of every job, but that you have those moments more often than not where you were like, I love this. Yeah. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. We spent how many 40 plus hours of our life every week at work. And if we dread those hours, that is a lot of time of our life we're spending in something that makes us unhappy otherwise.
Yes, it's a lot of time. And I think there's also now just like more research coming out too on how a lack of happiness and too much stress, the effects that it has on our health too. So I think it's almost a responsibility if you want to live healthy to find something that at least you don't hate, that you don't like totally just get scared of going to work, basically.
Yeah. And I talk to people every day who wake up dreading their day ahead and feel the mental and physical impacts of not being happy at work, of being miserable, either because the work they do is misaligned or the work environment is not healthy, or for so many other reasons, the workload is overwhelming. And it's really not just that you're unhappy for 40 hours a week. It takes over your life. You're not your best self. You don't even enjoy your time off. And I think about when I was back in corporate, I couldn't enjoy my weekends because my battery was so empty by Friday. It took 2 days of sitting on the sofa for it to be back up.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so interesting. I mean, I see it with other people. I've experienced it myself. When you're so burnt out, not just from the workload, but just because the work is so unaligned, you don't like, even as I'm more of an extroverted person, but you just don't want to do anything. You don't have any other battery that you want to use for what really matters to you, like your family, your friends, your social circle, giving back. Like there's just no energy for any of that. So
I agree. I experienced the same. Mm-hmm. How has your life changed? So you've been in roles where that weren't aligned and you were not happy, and now you're in a role where you are happy and it is aligned. So outside of the times you're working, how has that impacted your life and you as a person?
Well, first of all, I'm a lot happier. I think at least that's the feedback from my husband. Also, when you live with somebody being miserable and tired all the time versus somebody who is not that is probably a little nicer to be around.
Yeah.
But I think overall, I just feel a lot more inspired. I do feel, I love the freedom that it comes, like authenticity and freedom are two of my like major, my top values in life. And I feel like I can just live a lot more aligned to those values now. So the work I do is very authentic to me. It feels very right. I know I can really help people, and that's really who I am and what I love to do. And the freedom of being creative and not having 100,000 rules that restrict you is so fun for me. So inspiring to me. And then also the time freedom of like, okay, I'm, you know, the next 3 weeks are going to be crazy. But you know what? After those 3 weeks, I'm going to just take a few days off and I'm, you know, during the week, and I'm just going to go on a little vacation. Or the freedom you have on a daily basis to structure your days based on how you like to work. I'm more of a morning person. I like to work in the mornings if possible. I also don't mind working on the weekends. So I can just structure that according, and of course, also to my clients' needs. So it's not complete freedom, but there is a lot more freedom than a lot of other jobs.
Oh, I'm so with you on that. And it really starts with getting to know yourself. You know that authenticity and freedom are super important to you. Mm-hmm. For everyone, that's going to be something different. Others might value recognition or stability or getting to know yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm going to borrow your phrase again, being radically honest with yourself. What is it that really is important to you? And I agree, for me, this is so important too. And I just had this conversation with my business coach, Diana YK Chan, yesterday, because I'm planning, and I shared that with you briefly, I'm planning this huge event, the 12 Days of Career Goals, and I have the most incredible lineup of powerhouse speakers. And so I was brainstorming with her yesterday, and I was like, oh, I wonder if I can do this. And then like, I was like, well, this is my event. I can do whatever I want.
I love it. Yeah, I know. But sometimes it takes a while to get used to that, because you're like, oh, wait, I can do whatever I want.
And I can do whatever I want, and I'm going to make this my biggest success ever. And I'll do whatever it takes to make that happen. But yes, I love this flexibility, this creativity and freedom. And I don't think there's many corporate environments where I could have said like, hey, I have this idea. I'm going to run this incredible 12-day speaker series. I'm going to bring in some of the best of the best in the industry. And I'm going to make this as a free gift back event, because 2024 was hard as hell on the job market. And we need to do something to give back to the community. And I'm going to make this happen. A lot of companies, there would have been a lot of red tape. But if you're a boss, it's like, I'm just going to do it.
Red tape. Yeah. We don't like red tape.
I don't like red tape.
I totally get that it's necessary. And I think, and also like, again, without judgment, I think there's a lot of people that actually thrive in that environment, love that very rigid structure. And I think that's also totally fine. And I think we need both.
Yeah.
And I think it's just really about understanding yourself in that way.
I agree. It's understanding yourself, and there's no right or wrong path. Entrepreneurship is also really, really hard, and it's not for everyone. And there would be a lot of people where they'd be very unhappy. Mm-hmm. And it is about knowing what is it that aligns with who you are, who are you authentically, and then finding the role that matches that.
Exactly.
So for our listeners, there's a lot of people listening that are thinking, I have this big passion, but I'm really afraid. And I think that is something I hear often. I don't want to turn my passion into my work, because maybe then I won't like it anymore if it's something that I have to do. What is your take on that?
Mm, I think it's so for me, I would still say it's totally worth it. But I will say there's two parts to that. One is if you want to live off that business, it has to be something really brings value to people in a way that is that you can monetize. Because otherwise it will just stay a passion. And, you know, let's be real, like you need groceries, you need rent, like you need to live off something. So I think that's something that you have to approach with a portion of pragmatism of just like, okay, I love this, I would love to do this. But how can I strategize on really making that financially
viable
too? Yeah.
100%.
And I think the other part is also to have the right mindset of, just like you said before, it's not always going to be rainbow and butterflies. There's going to be really hard times too. And also kind of like what we talked about too with like your values, if you value stability over everything, if stability is one of your top values and you don't want to be taking as many risks, then it might also be extra tough because it is the Wild West.
Yeah.
Everything is possible, but also there is a big risk involved.
It's huge. Yeah, absolutely. So I hear that it's really about thinking carefully of weighing the options of turning your passion into a profession of what are the pros and the cons. Is it, first of all, something you can monetize? Is it valuable for people so that they actually will want to pay for this? And then also, is being an entrepreneur aligned with who you are? Is that aligned with your values, who you are authentically? Mm-hmm. Will you be happy doing, not just, because I'm sure you know that I love coaching. You love helping, training people and their owners. But there is so much more that comes with running a business. That's not what we do all day, every day.
No. I wish.
Yes.
I think that's like the part that fires you up, that lets you, you know, there's a lot of paperwork in running a business and marketing. Luckily, I enjoy marketing, so that's good. But yeah, there's a lot of factors that you might not think about in running a business, with permits and working with tax advisors and all sorts of things.
Wearing every single hat there is in a business.
Wearing every single hat. There's a lot of times there's not as much of a rigid daily routine because, you know, you might get a call from a client and then that call takes longer than you think, or where something unexpected comes up. So I think every day is a little different. And I think also it's also important to recognize that kind of what we talked about before with, it doesn't have to happen overnight, and it's okay to, it doesn't have to be this 0 to 100 transition. Yeah. Now I'm quitting my job cold turkey and now I'm going full in the business, because also the reality is it always takes some time, a few months, sometimes longer, until you even get a business up and running with the paperwork involved and all the logistics and to market your business. And so it's very important to have like a good plan. And to maybe consider like, oh, is there any other options that I can do while I'm starting this business?
Yeah, I agree. It's having a plan. And that goes back to why I'm so passionate about career clarity, is no matter what direction you want to go in, the first step is figuring out, where do I want to end up at? What is really aligned? And then coming up a plan with how do we make this happen? No matter if this is the corporate round or the entrepreneur or a hybrid, but having a solid plan and not just letting things happen to you or jumping into something cold turkey and then finding out a year from now that this wasn't aligned at all and it was not the direction you should have taken.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to hear more from you about the parts of work you love the most, working with the dogs and their owners. What exactly is it that you do, and how do you help owners and not just the dogs?
So I'm trying to phrase it as easy as possible. Usually when I say dog trainer, everyone everyone has an idea of what I do. So people contact me when they, usually when they have a problem already. So their dog is aggressive or is anxious or has any other behavioral problems. Or now working with families, a lot of times expecting families that have a dog and are worried about those interactions with the baby or the toddler and the dog. Those are some of my favorites to work with because being proactive is usually easier than being reactive to a problem that already is there. And then I do offer online training, but most of my work right now here in New England is one-on-one training. Sorry, my dog is whining in the background.
You're more than welcome to join.
It's all good. He's your coworker. He is my coworker. He's right next to me. And then with the one-on-one training, a lot of it goes into coaching of, okay, we have this problem and it sucks and we'll need to change it, but what is the outcome that we want? What is the ideal picture? Most people just want to have a peaceful life with their dog and bring the dog anywhere and just have, you know, the dog chilled out and calm and well-behaved. And so, we really go into a plan, you know, I will do a behavioral assessment to understand what the root issue is. And then we really start from that root cause. For example, when you work with aggression cases, a lot of times there is underlying fear involved. So the dog is acting up because he's scared, just as an example.
Yeah.
And then the other part is really working with the owner, helping the owner, empower the owner to understand their dog, first of all, and also empower the owner to become more confident, become more calm in handling their dog, understanding the problem, addressing it, and also working through their anxieties, because unruly dogs just cause so much frustration and really can cause a lot of problems within the family, within the household. I've worked with clients that had to keep their curtains closed the whole day, so they basically lived in darkness because of their dog. I've had clients that were really struggling. It got to a point where the dog affected their marriage because they were just struggling so much. So, and that's where I'm really trying to support, bring in the life coaching element and help the owner. Too.
I think this is so fascinating. Can you share one example of what the problem was and then how it changed as you worked with them?
Sure. So this is actually a recent case, and it was a dog that, so a pit bull mix, and he was extremely reactive, and the owner was really struggling. So reactive, or sorry, I'm like, if I'm throwing out dog training terms, but reactive is basically a very extreme reaction of the dog either lunging forward, trying to bite, trying to growl, and worst case scenario, hurt another person. And so that's what my client reached out to me about and basically said, you know, I'm completely overwhelmed. I used to be able to bring the dog into work. Now my whole life is changed and restricted because I have to go home. I can't bring the dog anywhere anymore because he had a biting incident in the past. And so now that trust is broken. And, you know, and so she was just very frustrated and kind of at the end of her ropes with, what should I do now? Like, I don't want to euthanize this dog. I don't want to give this dog up. And so that's where the coaching comes in, where I'm really trying to dig deep and understand, like, how did the dog grow up? How's your bond and your relationship with the dog? What did you train with past trainers? What methods did they use? There's, unfortunately, I use a very evidence-based approach. So I don't work with any aversive methods. And my focus is really to understand the dog first and foremost and support the dog rather than the mindset of, oh, I have to fix you. I have to fix this dog. Most dogs that act up are struggling. And there's this term, like, if you are struggling with your dog is likely to struggle too. So what we found out was really interesting. And that was really by digging deep, because if I would have just addressed him growling and biting, we would have not really gotten there. And basically, what came out is that the dog had trauma from the past, was a rescue pup. And then he got attacked by other dogs 3 times within like 1 month. And so that's additional trauma. So he was just trying to defend himself. On top of that, and that's where the holistic approach comes in, there's so many factors that affect dog behavior, and one of them is pain. So that's also something where I'm always trying to also consult with the veterinarian, work together with them. And basically what, because I was like, you might want to have him checked and just see if everything is okay health-wise. It turned out that the dog had severe arthritis, needed to be on pain medication. And that was also one reason why his reactions were so intense. When he would bite, he was not just like nipping, he was really biting in a dangerous way. And it was just because he was in so much pain and he tried to just keep everyone away. And wow. So now we're at a point where she can bring the dog in public again. We're building, she feels a lot more confident. The owner feels a lot more confident. The dog, you can just like see in their body language how much happier the dog is. And now the next step is to go to actually bring the dog into a group setting with other dogs. And that's going to happen soon. He's almost there. And that transformation, sorry for the long story. You see, I like can just like talk about it for a long time. But those kind of transformations is what lights me up. Like to really see like, you know, how much their life was restricted, how they couldn't go anywhere, how the owner was in constant worry and constant guilt about not being able to take the dog out. And then just getting them back into life and getting them back into what they actually want, just to live a good life together and take them on walks, is just so amazing to me.
That is incredible. I was just blown away by your story. That is absolutely incredible. You truly changed her life and the dog's life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds cheesy. Like when you say it out loud, it sounds cheesy, but it's super fulfilling.
100%.
Yeah.
Wow. I can see you lighting up while you do it. And the impact on the dogs and the owners is incredible. I'm sure everyone who has a dog is going to be wanting to call you now. So where can listeners learn more and connect with you?
So I'm on LinkedIn. I don't share most of my dog-related content on there, but just Bianca Barlow on LinkedIn. And then for all dog-related content, it's on Instagram and it's dogfulness. So spelled like mindfulness, but dogfulness_. And then my website is dogfulnesscoaching.com.
I love that. We're going to make sure to include this in the show notes. Thank you so much for being here with us today and sharing your absolutely powerful and fascinating career story with us today.
Thank you so much, Teresa. It was really fun. And yeah, again, very honored that I was able to be here. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Bianca. And that's a wrap for today's episode of Career Clarity Unlocked. Bianca's journey is a powerful reminder that following your passion can be both thrilling, but also challenging, but also so rewarding when it is aligned with your purpose. Whether it's dogs, wellness, or another calling, Bianca has really shown us that combining intuition with having an actual strategy can lead to some pretty amazing career moves. If Bianca's story has you considering a bold career shift or thinking more deeply about what you love, you can book a free consultation call with me. Together, we can uncover what your career path will truly bring you clarity and fulfillment. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we'll see you next time on Career Clarity Unlocked.